I'm thinking, somebody's trying to kill me. Maybe it's Satan. I don't know. But
You think they thought the same thing?
No. I thought this later. But anyway, I mean, my heart just went up in my mouth, and I started shaking like a leaf, and I just hit the horn in time, and all of a sudden, it's like he was coming, and then all of a sudden, he realized what he was doing, and we just missed each other. We
How about
almost
that?
Hit. And,
about the skin of your teeth, huh?
Yeah, another
close call.
Close call. But
How about
I
that?
Am. Praise the Lord.
That was one that you knew about.
Yeah,
how many other? How many close calls
do we have
that you didn't know about?
We don't know.
And he took care of it.
I think when we get to heaven, we'll find out maybe.
Possibly, huh?
Possibly, yeah. I'm not saying
yeah.
sure. How many
yeah.
times did God save our lives and we didn't even have a clue? We just went on.
Time and time again. Ain't he good? Amen.
He's so good.
Amen. Mm. It'll do it. It'll do it. Y'all tell me. Y'all been gleaning when you've been in the book of Ezra or any other place you've been digging in. You could have been somewhere else. Oh, I was wondering if y'all was paying attention.
I thought I messed up.
Esther, the book of Esther. How many times God's mentioned in the book of Esther?
None.
Zero. He's not mentioned in the book of Esther.
I heard that once and I had to go.
You went and checked it out. That's hard to believe, huh? A Bible book and God's not mentioned in it. But boy, we see his hand all through it, huh?
Yeah.
That's the emphasis really of the book is the providential hand of God. As we pointed out already, how many times has God protected us and we wasn't even aware of it, you know, what he was doing. A lot of times we only see the minute side. One out of, as somebody said in the past, we might see one out of every 10,000 times. Who knows, you know. But anywhere else, I mean, we're closing out the book of John. Is there anything that really spoke to you from there? Or you might be somewhere else. I mean, this is what we gather to be able to share and communicate some things that God's been working in and out and through you, and there's been a blessing to your personal journey that you want to be able to share and bless somebody else with. That will encourage them. Watering each other, fertilizing the seed, the harvest for God's glory. I noticed in something about the closing of John's gospel in particular was how the Lord told Peter, he emphasized to him his desire for him to tend and care for the sheep. And he told him to put out his hands and showed him that he would be taken away and the things that he would suffer and the death that he would die to glorify the Lord. And he told him, you know, to follow me. And the question was asked, well, what about him? What about the disciple whom Jesus loved? What about John? And Jesus emphasized to him, what is it to you? If I desire, if I want John to remain till I come, you follow me. Amen. What is it to you? If I will that he remain until I come. Now, when the disciples heard that, you know, they went to running with it. I'm glad that there's times that you see this. Have you ever been saying something or you said something and then somebody repeated what you said, but they didn't really repeat what you said. They repeated something else and you're like, I didn't say that, but that's what they heard you say. That happens. Well, it happened to Jesus too. Jesus didn't say that John wasn't going to die until he came. He just said, what if I will that he remain till I come? Because the Bible said that those standing around, which were the disciples, those standing around weren't telling everybody that John wasn't going to die. Jesus said John wasn't going to die until he came. But he didn't say that, did he? lot of times when we interpret or study the scriptures, it's always, it is good to ask questions. And one of the simple questions we could ask is, what does this passage not say? In asking a simple question like that, what does this passage not say, often gives us clarity and insight. It makes us really think about what he did say. When you look at what he didn't say, it'll help you see and understand the scriptures even better with God's help, because we can't understand the scripture unless God helps us. But we can ask questions. You know, what did he not say in this passage? And that's one of those passages that we could look at and ask that question. Well, what did Jesus not say? Well, what he didn't say was he didn't want Peter not to care or be concerned about John. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say that. Why? He had just told Peter a few minutes before to tend to the sheep, to care for the sheep, to nurture the sheep, to feed the sheep, to take care of the lambs. That's a fundamental part. The body of Christ works together. Amen?
Amen.
There are no lone rangers in the body of Christ.
Come on.
We are connected intimately together. We come together to be equipped for the work that God's called each one of us to do. Every one of us plays a significant part in the body. And there are no individuals that are isolated lone rangers. And he was not telling Peter that I don't want you to be concerned about the well-being, or I don't want you to be concerned about the witness or the lifestyle of John. He was not saying that at all. What he was saying was, is that it doesn't matter what I choose to do with John. What matters is what I'm going to choose to do with you. You follow me. I'm telling you up front that you're going to suffer for me and you're going to die for me, but your suffering and dying for me as you follow me is going to glorify God. And if I choose to see that John suffers for me and he dies for me, that's my choice. That's not your choice. That's not John's choice. That's my choice. John's my sheep. You follow me. And that's important for all of us.
Amen.
Because we're all working together in this. And yes, part of that work is encouraging one another, equipping one another, stirring one another on, reaching out to one another. We're never to leave another brother or sister unto themselves, but we understand that God has a part for each one of us to play in the body, and the main function that we all have is to follow him. And when we all follow him, all of us play that role in the kingdom exactly the way God wanted it to be. So if one man receives this, that's up to the prerogative of the Lord. Amen. He can do what he wants. If one man suffers for the namesake of Jesus, that's up to the Lord. Amen. I can't negotiate on the deal the fact, why do I have to be led away and die and be crucified when this man doesn't have to be? Jesus said that if I will to do with him as I please, that's my will. You have no choice, no say-so in the matter whatsoever. You just follow me. And that's what we have to look at. Now, we see a brother going astray, doing things contrary. We need to be concerned about that. Amen? That's part of it. That's not just to let him go and say, well, God must be leading him that way. No, we're concerned about that. We try to help out in that. Amen? And be used by the Lord to do that. Chris, you was going to ask something? You know, there's been probably a lot of the way he asked him. If I'm not mistaken, he uses some different terms when he says these things. You love me, Peter? You know I love you, Lord. You love me, Peter? You know I love you. Do you really love me, Peter? You know I love you. Well, some people will say it was a reminder of the fact that he denied him three times. And we got to keep in mind, that was all part of God's plan. Peter would have died for Jesus. It wasn't that Peter was afraid to die. he would have died for Christ. I mean, that night when he pulled out his sword to defend Christ, that was a defense to death. But he got his ear. He cut Malchus's ear off. But I don't think he was necessarily going for his ear. And only by God's providence, he didn't cut his throat. Because had he cut his throat, Peter would have been put on trial. Peter would have been executed himself. That wasn't part of God's plan. Peter was actually defending, would have stood there and fought for Jesus. But Jesus got his attention and said, this is not what I called you to do. Put your sword aside. You're not going to live by the sword. You're going to follow me. And as a result, you're going to have to suffer for me. And one of those ways you're going to suffer is you're going to experience it tonight. I know you said in your spirit, you will not deny me. You've proven that, but that's not what I'm referring to. And it says that he did. You know, I think it put Peter in somewhat of a tailspin. You know, here I am. I'm willing to fight for him. But remember, we have another kingdom. Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would have fought for me. We looked at that Sunday morning and Sunday night in John 18. He says, but I come from a different place. And I come to bear witness to the truth. If I was of this world, my servants, my men, they would have fought. But we're not of this world. So we operate under different principles. And that put Peter in this. All he knew was how to fight and defend from that perspective. And now it's like his hands tied on what do I do? I can't hit him. So what do I do? And he does exactly what the Lord said he was going to do. You're going to deny me three times. Before daybreak in the morning, you're going to deny me tonight, and he did. And he was so in an uproar in his own spirit about it that it wounded him to even do what he did. That's why he was grieved in his spirit. That's why he lashed out at him and used words that were not fitting and proper because he's frustrated. He's thinking, I'd fight for the man for Jesus, but that's not what he called me. I don't know what to actually do. And if I act on my own accord like I did with Malchus, I'm going to mess up. And if I act out what I really want to do, it ain't going to go well. So he's in a bad spot. But that was all part of the purpose of God. That was all part of God's plan. Why? Because remember, the enemy had already requested that he sift Peter. And the Lord said, Peter, I prayed for you. And when you are converted, when you are turned back, go strengthen your brethren. See, it's all part of God's plan. Satan couldn't do what he did with Peter and get him in that position that night if God didn't permit it to happen. But he let him do that for a reason, so that he would be an instrument, a vessel that God would work through to strengthen his people. Another aspect of it is the fact that Jesus said, I must be left alone. The shepherd will be struck and the sheep are going to flee. Jesus had to be totally isolated by everybody. And he had to stand alone and totally dependent upon his Father. Everybody else would abandon him. That was all part of God's plan. It was foretold in the Old Testament that Jesus, the shepherd, would be struck and his sheep would scatter. And therefore, that's what he told him. You're going to go back to your own. You're going to deny me. You're not going to stand and fight with me because I'm the only one's going to die. You can't die with me. That's not part of God's plan. That's not what he chose for you to do. So you see why Peter did all that he did. Now, does that apply to the three times that he made reference there? It could. I mean, that's assumption into it because it was three times. But if I think we looked up in the Greek, he said, you got something, don't you have a tool on your phone? Look at those words you're used to, huh? Well, we're going to look at it real quick. Let me see. I got an app right here called Life Proof. Let me see. Or Touch Bible. I'm going to pull it up. We're going to look at the words love that he uses in that passage. Just see if he uses a different word or if he uses the same word each time. I'm going to look it up right now. I'm going to give it to her. She's going to actually look it up for me. John 21. No, I got it right here. Here, take it. Look at these words. Tap on it. Scroll through, find that. And he's going to say, you need glasses? She's going to say, getting old, y'all. She needs glasses to see. And, well, she wears contacts all the time, but, you know, that's just seeing at a distance. Can't see up close. And Brother Shannon's got him some new glasses, too. And are they wearing well?
Yeah, they're doing fine.
Good deal. Good deal.
I got to move my head.
You got to move your head. They trifocals, bifocals?
Yeah. Fine.
Yeah, you can find me, huh? Yeah, I'm in there somewhere. It's just a tilt of the head.
While we're looking, you know, he brought him to the shore there and has fish and bread.
Feeds.
Wouldn't you like to be, I mean, just, sure, I'd like to be with Jesus for 3.5 years here. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But just to sit down on the beach, have
fellowship, break bread with
fish it. And bread that Jesus cooked on over the coal.
Yeah.
Does it get no better than that?
Come on.
Was it already?
Just the Lord's word. Do you love me? Do you love
me? It's their awful land.
Yeah.
He already had it set up for when they got to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that's what I was.
Yeah. Yeah. He had the fire hot.
Yeah.
Already had fire fish on the
grill. What was Peter's words when he said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you"? Those words that he uses there are the words phileo, which is that brotherly love. Lord, do you have affection for me, Peter? Do you like me, Peter? That's the word brotherly love, has the idea of a brotherly kind of type bond, an affection type for a brother. And that's where we get the word. We use the term Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, phileo type love, and it's an affection type. It's likable type love. I like you as a brother, and because I like you, I love you, have an affection for you. Do you like me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Yes, Lord, you know I. And what does Peter use in return? She's looking at it.
Oops. I just touched something else.
Oh, man. Did you lose it?
No, I got it back. Hang on.
I'm glad we not in no Cold War crisis. You a spy right now. We're in trouble.
Oh, the Lord didn't call me for that.
It wouldn't do it.
And
huh?
I was looking at them and they walked out.
It doesn't have lines underneath when Jesus says love. It only has lines when Peter.
I like it also when he says Simon, son of Jonah.
Yeah.
That's like using the full name.
Yeah, yeah.
I get your attention if I use your whole name.
That's right. Yeah. Just that
really
you see that personal.
Special, yes.
Yeah, that personal
talk. Identification.
And,
yeah.
Hey, I know you. Exactly. I know who you are. I know where you came from. And I know what I've done, and I know where I'm taking you. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think that was probably made even more comfort for him because he was, like you said, he was so eaten up with shame and guilt. That's hard to get rid of.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything Jesus did was, you're okay, Peter. It's,
yeah. And it is a strike. You know, you're right. He was right. He knows. I mean, he set out not to do this. He didn't want to do it. But it was inevitable it was going to happen. And like he knew with Judas Iscariot, as he knew who he was, like the one who dips with me, go take care of your business. Go do what you got to do. And it was all part of what was happening, and prophetic. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to show you.
What you going to show me?
They don't have, it doesn't have it when Jesus asked under the word love. Just Peter. And all of them were phileo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just that brotherly type. Now, what we see in all those things is important for us. Hey, he's called us to follow.
Amen.
When we follow him, we will fulfill what he's called us to do.
Yeah.
To help reach, equip, encourage, be a blessing to people, be able to love people that are unlovable, be able to bless those that misuse us, all those type things. And we see that personal interactive work. And as we move and transition into the book of Esther, even though we don't see God's name mentioned, we see him throughout the book working things out according to his purpose and plan. There was coming this turn of events where the Jews had somewhat of a good standing with the Persians up to this point. But there was a man by the name of Haman, which we're going to read about. And Haman was a descendant of who?
The Ammonites, was it?
Remember those Amalek? Remember that?
The Amalekites.
Remember those people that God told King Saul that he was to what?
To annihilate.
And he didn't do it. And as a result, Agag, the king, lived, and Agag had a descendant, one of his descendants, and that's Haman. And the enemy is going to try to use Haman to annihilate the Jews down the road. So you have this queen, and what's her name? Queen Vashti over the Persian. And what happens with her? She gets in her spirit that she's not going to do what Xerxes, the Greek term, would want be done, so they recommend to get her out of there and go find another woman. So they search the land high and low, and they find this Jewish girl by the name of Hadassah. And God brings her into the presence of the king at the right time, for the right reasons, for the right purpose. It's just a great picture of God orchestrating these events in light of what's going to happen in the future. Of him raising up Mordecai raising his niece, and she being in a place that God can put her in for influence and preserve and protect his people. And all this started long before any of these things actually began to take place. You think about Xerxes, for an example. Our Bible uses the word, some Bibles use the word Xerxes, but Ahasuerus is his name, the Persian king, per se. Some say he more than likely was the son of Cyrus the Great, who was the Persian that overthrew the Babylonian Empire so that God's people can be released from Babylon and go back to Jerusalem. Matter of fact, turn to Isaiah 45 real quick. Isaiah 45, Isaiah 44, several passages in there help us. Isaiah prophesying prior to Israel, Judah per se, going into captivity, and 150 years. 150 years prior to this man being born, Isaiah prophesies in chapter 44, in verse number 28, and calls him by name. The Babylonians, at the time the Syrians were the world power. They had overthrown the northern 10 tribes. Babylon, through Nebuchadnezzar, is going to overthrow the Assyrians in Syria, and they're going to take over. And God's going to use them to overthrow Judah and then pull Judah out of Jerusalem, the land, and put them in captivity for how many years? 70 years they're going into Babylon. God says, well, at the end of those 70 years, I'm going to send a man in there. And he tells us 150 years before these events in chapter 44, look in verse number 28. Well, let's just read in verse number 24. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone. He doesn't need any help. who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness. Now that's something, isn't it? Who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, to the cities of Judah you shall be built, and I will raise up her waste places, who says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers, who says of Cyrus, keep in mind, he's not born yet, won't be, he is my what? He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure. Saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. The man wouldn't even come on the scene for 150 years. And God calls him by name. He is a Persian king. He's from a heathen, godless nation. And God says, when my people's times are up in Babylon, I will raise up my shepherd, who I will tell you what his name is before he ever comes on the scene. His name is Cyrus. And he will lead my people out of Jerusalem and out of Babylon, and he will give them what they need to rebuild the temple and the foundations thereof. Notice verse 1 of 45. Thus says the Lord to his what? Anointed, the word Messiah, anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. The word held means to strengthen, whose right hand I have strengthened. He ain't even lived yet. He won't live, but God's speaking those things which are not as though they are, because he can't. And he will subdue nations before him, and he will loose the armor of kings. That simply means around their waist. He will open the belt to drop their weapons. Kings will drop their weapons at Cyrus, to open before him the double door, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. Now listen, Babylon was the dominant sovereign world power in these days. Nobody would stand before Babylon. They dominated the world at that time. And God says, I'm going to raise up my shepherd, who I call my Messiah, my anointed one. And he will come in, and the kings of the earth will unloosen their armor, and they will drop it on the floor. And I will strengthen him, and they will open up the gates and let him come in. Why? Because God raised up another king to take over, simply to take his people out of Babylon and put them back where they belong. That's what God does, and he's still the same God today. Amen. And what he did then is what he can do today, whenever he wants to, however he wants to. And he's telling them in advance, way before it ever happened, what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. And then we read other places of the scripture of how he did it and when he did it. And he made a decree and order. Matter of fact, look in 2 Chronicles 36. These things bless me now. The reason I say that is because where we are in Esther is following all these events that took place actually when Cyrus did what he did and he sent the people back, and then Cyrus's son is on the throne over Persia, and this is where Esther and Mordecai enter into the scene. Years later, but this is what we're dealing with. 2 Chronicles 36. Look at verse 22. This ain't no joke. In the first year. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, that it might be fulfilled. What did he do? The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also putting it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, all the kings of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me. And he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him and let him go up. Man, I'm telling you, boy, that's what God did. Amen? In a hostile environment, in a place where his people were slaves and subjects to this kingdom, God took a foreign pagan nation and raised up his servant and said, go in and get my people and set them free and give them everything they need to rebuild what is theirs back at home. And the king couldn't do nothing but follow the leadership of the Lord who stirred in his spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. What can he do today? He can do the same exact thing today. That's why we don't fret. We just wait on the Lord. He's the one who raises up kings, and he's the one who what? Brings down presidents. He can do what he wants, when he wants. Now, when he allows things like this to happen, just like with his people, just like with Babylon, hey, God is the same God who told him in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. I know what I'm going to do with you. It's not to hurt you or harm you, but I'm going to prosper you. I got a hope for you. I'm going to build you. Now, that included, though, 70 years of captivity. But God's saying, even way beyond that, I got a purpose. I'm going to set you free and bring people back. Now, some of you ain't coming back. I know that. But for my people as a whole, for my church, today, God is at work. The gates of hell cannot stop what God's doing. Amen? And we can trust him. We can walk with him. May you do it. May I do it. May we do it. We'll do it together, but it may not be our hands that do it. But somebody in the kingdom of God is going to see God's will accomplished, because God cannot be thwarted in what he's going to do. Amen?
Amen.
He is going to do it. And we can trust him. And we are where we are now. Even though the enemy tried to infiltrate in and tried to shut things down and cripple things and raise up an enemy in the kingdom like Haman to try to overthrow and kill, well, God already had a little girl by the name of Hadassah preparing her and all her beauty and splendor to win the heart over of that Persian king and find her way in the court, to in the presence, to have influence upon the king. And as we'll find out as you read through, as Mordecai told her, hey, you were born for such a time as this, Hadassah, who they renamed Esther. Yes.
Did you know that the main hospital in Jerusalem is named after her, Hadassah Hospital?
How about that?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So it's neat. So what you're reading right now, and as we read through, it's just all this has been worked out and brought to its place by the glory of God.
Amen.
We can give him praise and glory. Matter of fact, let me ask y'all a question. How many times y'all go out that back door in the back there?
I go a lot.
You go a lot? Mm-hmm. Everybody uses it sometimes. I know, on a fairly regular basis. Nobody say, Mr. Lorraine, don't say nothing, but I want to ask y'all, there's a scripture reference at that door. Anybody know what it is? Y'all go through it all the time, I know. This is right at the door. I mean, when you walk out the door, you walk right by it.
Oh, not the one on the dry erase board?
No, not on dry erase board, at the door.
It's right on the left side.
It's on the left side. Right there, you open the door, it's sitting right there. How many of y'all know what it says? See, we can get so used to seeing something over and over again, and you'll do the same thing when you're in the Word of God. You'll get so used to reading through it, you'll miss it. That's why I want to be attentive and watch. It is Jeremiah. I figured y'all would catch it on it. Jeremiah 29. And when I was looking at it the other day, and I said, I wonder how many could tell me what that verse is and walk by it so many different times. And when I mentioned Jeremiah 29:11, it triggered my mind to ask that question. But it happens.
Yes.
We do it. We get in routine. That's why places, how many of y'all get aggravated with Walmart or Sam's when you go in there and you can't find what you're looking for because they moved it? It ain't in the same place.
Oh, yeah.
You know why they do that? It's called marketing strategy. If you got to look for it, you're going to see something that you've been walking by so many times and never paid attention to, and you're going to notice different things, and you're going to buy different things. That's why they're always moving stuff. They want you to have to look for it, because when you look for it, you're going to see things that you just, the average person, if you see things four times in a row, the average person, these things have been studied out. If you see things, if you get used to seeing something in one spot for four times in a row, you'll start, you won't pay attention to it anymore, what it is, and then you'll just totally forget. So that's why they move things around. And we don't want to approach the scriptures from a perspective that it's just routine. We want to dig in it and ask God to make things jump off at us, jump out of the page, so that we see where we at and we pay attention to where we're journeying through. Amen?
And you know what? Sometimes we go through, I was thinking about this the other day, we read the same scripture so many times, it's like, oh, you gotta write that down. But you only see part of it, your favorite part of it, maybe,
mm-hmm.
and you don't even notice the second part of it.
Oh, the next verse, yeah, around it, yeah.
Well, not even that, in the same verse, but there's a lot of words in that verse, and some of the words you don't really notice, just some of
yeah.
it. And I do that, and I have to catch myself. And sometimes, all of a sudden, you notice it.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, it's right there. Stands out. Amen. Amen.